A remarkable, long-buried American story is being brought to life and light on the stage. As an opera. It's the story of an enslaved man who wrote his memoirs in Arabic. He was Muslim, captured in Senegal, and brought to Charleston, South Carolina in 1807. He managed to escape, but was then recaptured and jailed as a runaway slave. He wrote Quranic verses in Arabic all over the walls of his jail cell. That made him the subject of fascination at the time. A Christian plantation owner wanted to convert him. He was sold again and lived as an enslaved man till he died in his 90s in 1864. His name was Omar Ibn Said. His autobiography has been adapted into the opera called Omar, and it's now being performed at the LA Opera in Los Angeles. Joining us is the composer of the opera, Michael Abels, and director of Omar, Kaneza Shaw. Thank you both so much for being here.
Pleasure to be here.
It's great to be here. It's great to speak with you.
Let me start with you, Michael. I wonder what drew you to this project. There are certainly a number of things that are remarkable about Omar Ibn Said's story.
Well, I'm the co-composer of this opera. The Spoleto USA Festival, which is based in Charleston, approached Rhiannon Giddens, who's a Grammy-winning recording artist, singer-songwriter, historian, actually, about composing this opera. And she chose to write the libretto herself, then seek a musical collaborator. And so that's how she came to ask me. When she approached me, besides just saying yes the instant she asked me, I had never heard of Omar, and Rhiannon said she hadn't either. And that's the problem, that Omar's story is kind of quintessential to American life. And it's very important that all of our stories be told so that we come to understand who we are in the present. And so I got to learn about Omar and understand about him during the process of co-composing a piece that helps other people understand who he is. And I think what drew me to his story was just the incredible obstacles of his life and the hardship that he endured, and yet how his ability to actually remain true to his culture while at the same time satisfying the needs of his demanding, you know, owners, managed to preserve his spirit and his true soul, not only through his lifetime, but now to today, so that we can actually learn about him and maybe be informed by this history.
Now, this is a history that even among African Americans may be surprising. We don't often hear about Muslim enslaved people. He definitely flouts the racist stereotype of the uneducated enslaved person, right? He was extraordinarily well-educated, a scholar. And that's history that has been, I don't want to say lost because that makes it sound passive. It has been buried.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Kaneza, had you heard of Omar Ibn Said before you got attached to the project?
I had been aware of the scholarship around how many Muslims had been in the United States and a vague understanding that there was early writing in Arabic that had existed on pews in the American South and things like this. But this was my first encounter with Omar Ibn Said individually and as a person.
And what did you think as you started to try to stage this? What were your priorities?
I'm interested in the contest of languages in Omar's life. These are spiritual languages, cultural languages, spoken and written languages, musical languages, languages of place, and how ultimately Omar comes to hold all of these languages at the same time. And this is what opera is great for, a place that can hold complexity and contradiction, a place where more than one thing can be true at the same time.
I'm told, Michael, that you had wanted to write an opera for quite some time. Is that true?
That's true. That's true.
Because it feels like for your first one, you picked a doozy. Like, this is a great story, but it's tough.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Now, you have written quite a bit of film music. In fact, you are known for writing scores for several of Jordan Peele's movies. And I wonder, what are the differences as a composer between writing that film score, which is often narrative, which is often sweeping and large, and an opera?
There's a lot of differences, of course, and yet a lot of similarities. I think one of the main differences is kind of one that you wouldn't think about if I didn't point it out, but in film, the music actually follows the emotion. Even if it's only a second or two behind the emotion, we try to have the audience have an experience of the emotion or thing that's happening to the character, and then have the music kind of confirm their interpretation. But in opera, the music is the primary story director, I would say. And so the music often begins an emotion or a feeling, and then the singer sings into a context or an environment provided by the music.
There are all kinds of different themes that you could have played with. We're talking about a story that includes elements of Africa, obviously the American South, Muslim traditions, and Christian traditions. But I wanted to take a listen to a little bit of music here, because this is the opening of the opera, and anyone who is Muslim will probably recognize this.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin.
So that is Jemez McCorkle, who plays Omar. And Michael, tell us about the choice to open with the words of the Quran.
Well, the piece is really about a journey of faith and about the power of spirituality, no matter the denomination, to allow a person to transcend the harshest of circumstances. And his faith, because it was something they attempted to suppress in him, was, of course, the most important thing that we needed to bring out in his character.
Kaneza?
We know that forms like opera, even the sounds we understand as classical sounds, has roots in all kinds of cultural exchange, migrations over hundreds of years. And so I think of Omar as an opportunity to bring opera back to itself, a form built on cultural exchange, which has always been deeply hybrid, and a form dependent on many different kinds of artists teaming up.
I mean, there are so many things that are striking about the decisions that were made on stage, the costumes, which are all adorned with writing on them, the sets as well. The opera opens with a photo of Omar ibn Said, and he appears to move. but I have to ask you both about the relationship of opera to African-American traditions, because there are good reasons why people don't associate Black traditions with opera. And part of that is because Black people, at least in the United States, have been shut out of this form for so long. And I wonder, Michael, how you feel about this, about writing an opera, especially with Rhiannon Giddens, in a form that for so long our parents and grandparents were excluded from.
I think it's a huge opportunity, because this opera includes as many different forms of American music that were, you know, invented by Black people as possible. And that includes early jazz and bluegrass. There's the original melody of an enslaved person as transcribed in the 1700s. And it's just filled with a celebration of American music brought on stage as an opera.
So you're talking about music. Let's hear a little bit more of it. Over the course of the story, Omar meets an enslaved woman named Julie, and she has this beautiful aria in the second act, which is just this kind of more intimate, small moment in what's really a broad and sweeping story. So then, what did you come away with? Like, what did you learn from his story?
Whenever you study a single person's story, I think it actually makes an historical event even more significant. And that for sure happened for me. And also when we premiered the piece in Charleston, only blocks from where the slave market was, where Omar was sold, that was profoundly moving to me. And just one more aspect of this that I'll carry with me always.
Kaneza, what do you think? What do you think audiences should come away with?
We all meet this story from a different place. And this is a story that defines everyone who walks through the doors, whether they are the first in their family to sleep on this soil, or whether their families have been sleeping on this soil for generations. And I would argue, towards your point before, that opera has disinvited for many years the audience's best equipped to understand this form, to appreciate the operatic struggle of living that is daily. And I think that this opera is a demand that these doors be ripped off their hinges and we reconsider who is at the center of an opera audience.
That's real.
You're here.
Yeah. Kaneza Shaw, director of the opera Omar and also Michael Abels, co-composer along with Rhiannon Giddens. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Celeste.